Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Indeed, the Lord is making all things new. Through Christ, there's the possibility of being a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. And there is a new abode awaiting those who make preparation to live with God by bringing their lives into harmony with the will of God through Christ. But there is a new heaven and a new earth that's being prepared for God's people. We noticed yesterday that heaven will be a place for a fresh start without Satan's interference. Satan's doing everything he can to keep people out of heaven, doing everything he can to bring more tears of disappointment and tears of sorrow and tears of shame. But a second point about heaven today is that it's a place for a fresh start with a new nature. Heaven will give us a fresh start. Many of us need the prayer of the old saint who prayed, Lord, keep me alive while I'm still living. We've all struggled with the death of our nature seeks to bring to our lives. In heaven, we'll have a new nature because the curse of sin will be destroyed. In heaven, no longer will there be any curse. And thus we read in Revelation chapter 22, beginning with verse 1, I want to read down through verse 5. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. A former correspondent with CBS News and a speechwriter for Presidents Reagan and President Bush made this observation. I think we have lost the old knowledge that happiness is overrated. That in a way, life is overrated. We have lost somehow a sense of mystery about us, our purpose, our meaning, our role. Our ancestors believed in two worlds and understood this to be the solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short one. We are the first generation of man that actually expected to find happiness here on earth, and our search for it has caused such unhappiness. The reason? If you do not believe in another, higher world, if you believe only in the flat material world around you, if you believe that this is your only chance at happiness, if that is what you believe, then you are disappointed when the world does not give you a good measure of its riches, unquote. I believe what Mrs. Noonan said is right. Our preoccupation with our own advancement breeds tension and trauma and sometimes tragedy. Our rush for earthly power and prestige steals our time and our energy and our attention that we could be giving to our children, to our spouse, and to the less fortunate. Too many lives are poured into the bottomless bucket of this world. And after all is said and done, the bucket is still empty. The world is crying for something better. Look at the hatred that's brought into our world through the rule of Satan. Look at the poverty in the third world countries, which is a direct result of evil and evil men. There's no other way to account for the hunger and the starvation than evil. There's enough food to feed the world. And so why is it that the hungry aren't fed? Even in our affluent society, there's a cry for something better. And so we may cover our deepest cries as we run to and fro seeking something to fill the emptiness in our lives. And we long for heaven, where this mourning and this emptiness will end. In heaven, there will be no aging. In heaven, there will be no fading. In heaven, there will be no failing. In heaven, there will be no frustration or being deprived. Heaven is a place, friend, where hearts will be healed. Imagine living without ever getting angry and frustrated and discouraged or depressed or despondent. John says in Revelation 22, verse 2, On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Have you ever been sick? You know how great it feels to get well? Well, try to imagine spiritual healing that removes the infection of sin, that infection from our souls for all eternity. Try to imagine what it would be like to always think clearly and to plan deliberately without any distractions. Imagine living for a purpose with absolute confidence that nothing's going to interfere. Imagine doing all of this with nothing less than the purest of motives. The greatest healing will be the healing of relationships, which will result of our new nature. It takes place. It seems that the more crowded our world becomes, the more difficult it is to sustain meaningful relationships. We look across the globe, we realize the difficulty of world peace. But in heaven, there's access to the tree of life that's going to bring healing to the nations. And I read in Revelation 21, verse 23, a verse that was read yesterday, "And the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." So heaven will be a place where we have a new nature, and we have a fresh start with that new nature. Now, third point, in heaven there will be a fresh start with a new body. Our natural body presently is subject to death and decay, but there will be a new order where evil is banished forever. That evil that destroys our spiritual health, that evil will be destroyed. Spiritual death is the cause of physical death, although it's more far-reaching than the physical grave. It taints our souls with sin. In reality, it was the death of the soul that brought death to our bodies. It's a death that separates us from everything pure, as it taints every thought and every motive we have to the extent that not one of us knows how to do good. There are none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3, verse 23. Sin separates us from ourselves, just as we separate our souls from our bodies when we die physically. With the destruction of the spiritual death, we'll have a new body. A new body with a new nature. And both are going to live in perfect harmony. The Bible makes no effort to describe the kind of bodies we will have. Just simply says it's going to be a new body, a spiritual body. We do know that we'll be able to recognize each other, though. The rich man died and lifted up his eyes in torment. A poor beggar died and lifted up his eyes. He was in Abraham's bosom. And the account of that found in Luke 16, verse 19 through verse 34 indicates that there was a recognition of who was there and knowing one another. And in Matthew 17, where Christ was transfigured before Peter, James, and John, and there appeared Moses and Elijah talking with Christ, the three apostles knew who that was. There was a recognition, but we don't know what kind of body we'll have. We're simply told in 1 Corinthians 15, that great resurrection chapter, that it's sown a natural body, but it's raised a spiritual body. It is sown a physical body, it's raised a spiritual one. And John speaks about the new body and the new life. In 1 John 3, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and such we are." He says the world does not know us, in that it did not know him. But now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And everyone that has this hope in himself purifies himself, even as he is pure. Well, we may not know what we will be, but we will be given a new body. And like the old was recognizable, the new will be recognizable. It'll be different. There will be no disease, there will be no decay for this new body. It will be strong and powerful, not subject to death. It will be perfect, and it will be glorious. You imagine the people that have been stricken with some kind of such as infantile paralysis, who've spent nearly all of their lives in a wheelchair or in some cases an iron lung, but to be given a new and a perfect, glorious body. Imagine a new body with a new nature. Our bodies will not be subject to temptation. The resurrection bodies we'll enjoy in heaven will not be limited by space and time restrictions as our present bodies are. Try to imagine life without physical death. Old Methuselah lived 969 years, but he died. We can't begin to imagine what it will be like to live 1,000 years. But in heaven, we'll have eternal life. Life without the possibility of death stretches our minds, and it just seems impossible. When Christ makes all things new, there'll be no hospitals, because pain and suffering will have been destroyed. There'll be no disappointments. He said in Revelation 24, He wipes away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying, nor pain. The former things are passed away. Just imagine what the resurrection body will be like. It's almost impossible. But that's the promise we have in the Word of God. And furthermore, heaven will be a place where there's a fresh start with a new home. We will enjoy God's presence without Satan's interference. We'll enjoy a new nature, enjoy a new body, enjoy a new house. Again, Revelation 21, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Or Revelation 21, verse 9, And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride and the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and a high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like to a jasper stone, clear and crystal. Verse 12, And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 19, And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald. On he goes. And then our Lord says in John 14, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Heaven, a prepared place for prepared people. Have you made your preparation? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior by acknowledging your faith in Him, by repenting of sins, by confessing Him before men, by being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins? If you haven't, there's not that hope for that new place, but it can be yours.